manager, number 11, Craig Counsell.
Craig Counsell, manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Just joining us, delivered the news, the passing Cub great Ryan Sandberg passed away at his home earlier today at the age of 65 after a battle with cancer. You know, we get a chance to interact with him, do broadcasts with him, and then obviously seeing him around the ballpark. The other thing was you got to see him around spring training and a fun sense of humor. He and Rick Sutcliffe love to play with each other. This spring, Rhino, you know, Sut doesn't always land the plane, right? And Rhino told a bunch of the coaches, and he had Craig Counsell belly laughing. He said, if you're cornered by Rick Sutcliffe and he's just talking too much, just yell Geronimo, and I'll come and I'll rescue you. And he just had that way about him. And the other component was just everybody wanted to be around him.
Craig Counsell with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
I think Boog was right on in talking about Rhino, and we have been discussing it a lot here over the last hour of the show, and we had a beautiful conversation with Nico Horner about it. Barry Rosner is going to be on the show today. Andre Dawson is going to be on the show today. And Bob Costas is going to be on the show today. Right now, Cubs manager Craig Counsell joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Craig, thank you very much for joining us. There's baseball to discuss, but I know that you were asked quite a bit yesterday about Rhino, and as you should have been. And I appreciated you wanting to talk about that guy. So from your perspective as the manager of the Cubs, what did Rhino mean to you individually and to the organization as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, first, you know, he just growing up, he was the player that, you know, like, attached it to the Cubs because of just his greatness as a player. And, you know, watching WGN and watching day games, it was, you know, for me, it was Ryan Sandberg and Sean Dunstan. Like, that's who I love to watch. You know, I before I came to Chicago, I knew Rhino. I didn't know him well. I knew all about him, about how nice a man he was, how much he loved the game. But, you know, when he joined us for spring training this year, and knowing what he was going through, I think you just, you know, you love the game, and, like, that's love of the game, right? And that showed, it just teaches you something. It gives you perspective. It makes you think differently about, you know, your day at work. And that was a gift that Rhino gave us, all of us, for sure.
Let's go back to young Craig Counsell watching ball games and seeing Rhino and Sean Dunstan. 123 straight games at second base without an error. It's crazy. They were smooth. The two of them were smooth, and seeing Dunstan finish double plays with a rifle from short had to be pretty satisfying. Did you want to be an infielder as you were watching? Were you already an infielder?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the two things. I was always amazed that, like, it felt like Sandberg never made a mistake, and then, which was just like, this guy never makes a mistake. And then it was like Dunstan just, you wanted to see him throw. And so those two things, yeah, were, you know, I just loved baseball and wanted to watch, but those were two things that, those are the two things that I'd always thought about those guys.
There was a point there in, like, the back half of Sandberg's career where everybody kind of just had to admit it. And I don't think Joe Morgan was too happy about it, but that Rhino was probably the greatest second baseman of all time. Like, that was accepted wisdom for a while there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he was such a complete player. He did it all. And the kind of the power, that the thing that I didn't resonate, the power, the home runs he always hit as a second baseman didn't resonate with me at all, but that's what made him a Hall of Famer, right?
You're like, oh yeah, well, he's got that. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily have that. But he had everything else. And Lawrence brought it up, the triples, man. Lawrence, ask him, because, like, It doesn't even make any sense.
So Craig, I heard you talking about the triples at Wrigley for Rhino. The amount of triples in once in the 84 season overall is ridiculous, but the idea of how many of them were at Wrigley Field. So do you find yourself looking at the dimensions of the ballpark because they haven't changed and going, nice. How the hell did he do that?
Yeah, that's the great thing about Wrigley and like historical players is that we're you know, they're playing in the same place and so Ryan Flaherty and I always, you know, when somebody hits a triple, it like in Wrigley, we always think about Rhino. We do. We talk about it, and we're like, how did he hit so many triples? It's just it's the only place to hit a triple is like really like kind of down the lines, really. But I didn't feel like Rhino probably hit many balls down the right field line. So I'm like, he somehow hit triples down the left field line, which means. Just a testament to like his effort and like the hustle, because like you had to like you got to get that from step one if you're going to hit a triple down the left field line.
All right, one possible theory
kicks off of the bullpen.
That's exactly it. The old bullpen mounds in foul territory. Like, did he aim for those? Because you know that's
that's easily done at the highest level of baseball.
Maybe for the greats, it might be.
You know, the other thing you said last night is that it was an honor to have him choose baseball and choose your team to hang around with when things were not going well for him. That was powerful to hear you say. Just to expand on that, if you can, just that concept. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean that it's. You know, I mean, I don't know if any of us can think about that point in our lives, but we knew that it was a battle with cancer, and it was, you know, he wasn't having all good days. And so, you know, he was making a choice to come spend those days with us. And I think we all felt that. And then not only that, but then he's great when he comes. I mean, I think the story that Boog told you guys, you know, was a great story, and I was dying laughing. In fact, I texted him a couple times. Boog got the word wrong. Boog said it was Geronimo. It was actually Bobcat was the word. But I texted Sandberg a couple times, Bobcat, like I need your help. I need your help.
like Rhino had probably done that his whole life, save people from Sutcliffe every once in a while. Right?
He probably had, yeah.
Craig, what can you take us back to the statue moment with the guys? Because I feel like that's even now, like I start thinking about like how important of a moment that was for him. And what it meant for you, how did it come together that you were like, hey, let's get the guys out here. Let's honor this guy. Let them see what it's like.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that to last night, actually. And I mean, I would probably, it was of my 2 years here was my favorite day as a Cub. It was just a.
Oh man. Lost connection with Craig Council as he's talking about that. We'll reestablish and get him back. Craig, you there?
That's all right. Yeah. I mean, we'll reconnect and we'll get him back going.
I'm really, really glad you're asking about that, Lawrence. I happen to be standing right up there, just overlooking the statue ceremony, and then I see all these guys in blue sweatshirts coming, and you don't realize it's the entire team.
So wait, where were you at?
I was right there because I was looking for a spot to go stand and watch the statue ceremony. It was so packed, so I went upstairs. I went up the flight of stairs, and I'm standing right there, and then here comes Craig and the team. I think we got Craig back. Craig, you were saying that moment, that day, was your favorite day as a Cub to take the guys upstairs and look at the ceremony?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just, you could just get a sense of history and what players mean to fans. You know, maybe not just for everything that, you know, your statistics, but just what you, the time they spent, you know, the time you spend together, really, at a special place. And I think our players really loved it. And you just, it connects you to fans, it connects you to history, and it connects you to the organization. That was a really special day. And I'm glad our players, I know our players are you know, thankful they got to be a part of it.
Baseball's really good at connecting the past to the present and the future. And I'm not saying that it's better than other sports at doing it, but you can tell that those types of things mean something. And organizationally, the Cubs are great at making sure that their living greats are around the team. What do you see as the value of that for you and for the players?
Well, it's especially at Wrigley, where it's like you said, it's you know, Ian Happ and Pete Crow Armstrong are playing on the same field that Ryan Sandberg played in or that Billy Williams played on. And that it's in itself is connecting. And so I think it is one of the things baseball is great at. It's great at its history. It's great at keeping its history alive. And we all, because of that, we all take part in those things, and we all want to be a part of those things, and we all want to learn about those things. And I think learning about your sports history and your organization's history is critical.
Jed Hoyer got a contract extension yesterday, Craig. Are you happy for him and happy to continue your working partnership with Jed?
Absolutely. I think, you know, Jed's had a wonderful season this year. I mean, we added, you know, going across, you can talk to other people on other teams and they're, you know, they marvel at kind of the free agents that we added and how well they've played this year. And then that's been a tremendous success. And then, you know, I think Pete Crow Armstrong is somebody that everybody's marveling at too. And as a organization and franchise changer, players like that and decisions like that. So, you know, like I said, the day one here is that the organization is in a very good spot moving forward. And that's in large part due to decisions that Jed has made. And so very deserving of this. And I'm looking forward to, you know, kind of, I don't want to say finishing job, but continuing the job that's been started.
What's your job like this week when you know that they're might be people on your roster or in the organization that you might have to say goodbye to, that you might have to welcome some people into your clubhouse and into your culture. How do you reconcile that as a manager?
Yeah, I mean, I think the deadline's look, you know, for players, it's always a little bit of a strange time. You know, maybe not as much in our organization, but there's still players that, you know, could be affected by decisions made in the next couple of days. So, you know, you got to be upfront with that stuff when necessary and honest and open and transparent about it. You know, for the most part, guys understand what's going on and it's out of their control. And that's the biggest thing. You know, there's things players can control and there's things they can't. And, you know, they get here by worrying about the things they can control.
That's
a bar.
You've had a really, it's a bar for a song.
That's a bar right there.
Lawrence is going, can Lawrence use that for his lyrics?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, we all try to do it, right? We're not very good at it. You know, we worry about a lot of things that don't do us any good to worry about.
Oh, that's for sure.
See?
Yeah.
It's a bar.
Yeah, it is. You've had a really impressive year managing the bullpen. Jed told us a few weeks back, he thinks the fact that you're part of the acquisition process, Craig, has been beneficial to the way you've handled the bullpen. And I wonder if you feel that in kind of a different way or a unique way because of your partnership, if that's been helpful to bullpen management this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I just learn every year is that, you know, you get something new thrown at you every year and your group is different. And if you try to do everything the same you've done in the past, it doesn't work because you just have a different group and different personalities and different like things to make them successful. And so you just always got to keep trying to find ways to make this group successful. And, you know, like having a little bit of window into the acquisition process, you know, it's helpful because I think you have a little background going in, and you get just a sense of the bigger picture maybe going on. But Yeah, our guys have done a great job. We've got an older group this year for the most part, but we've had some success stories, and I think you need that from your bullpen. You need to have some surprises, and probably the two guys pitching the innings at the back and Keller and Palenzi are probably our two biggest surprises, and that's necessary for successful teams.
So on a week like this where there might be some acquisitions and you kind of work together a little bit, you have a big series to manage at the same time. It's a unique amount on your plate. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really there's the team and then there's the other stuff, and you just separate them and you have to separate them. And that's, I'm, like I said, I'm more of a consultant in the trade stuff, not the decision, not the final decision part, or not doing the whole work or not doing all the research. So, I'm just a voice. But the game's the priority for me. And that's how I treat it, but try to lend a hand where I can.
Craig, as a contemporary of Ichiro, what's it like seeing him in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I was lucky enough. I played. There used to be there's the Arizona Fall League, which was the big prospect league. And at the time when I was coming up, there was a league prior to, for younger people, they call the Hawaiian Winter League. We got to go to Hawaii for 2 months. I know, it was tough work. And there was a team on each island, and the 1 year I was there, Ichiro played in. He was based out of Hilo, Hawaii, on the Big Island. He won the MVP of the league. He was the best player in the league, kind of by far. He was incredibly fast. That's what I remember about him. Like, good hitter, incredibly fast. But he was the best hitter. So I saw Ichiro when he was like 19 at the time or something like that. I was probably like 22 or 23. So before he came to the States, I had played against him actually, I was pretty lucky to do that.
Wow. I love that. I'm glad I asked that question.
Absolutely. It's the first Japanese position player ever in the bigs. So, and what a beautiful hitter. You think he could have been a power hitter if he chose to do it that way?
Yeah. I mean, he could have hit a lot of home runs for sure. Yeah. I think he was, they always talk about his BP. He could have won home run derbies. It's when you go to Seattle, like last year we went to Seattle, like he's out there running sprints in the outfield. It's just so great. It's so great. It's like he's getting ready for the game. He's out there running sprints. It's awesome. I mean, it is like, It's. I think you like go on the field hoping to see, just hoping to get a glimpse of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Game two of this Milwaukee series. It's the Colin Ray revenge game. It's what everybody's calling it. And then Quinn Priester. I mean, this guy. He struck out 10 in 6 shutout innings against the Dodgers 2 starts ago. But you guys got him for 7 earned runs and 4 1/3 on the 2nd of May. At Wrigley, which would you prefer tonight? Quinn Priester dominant, or you want to beat the crap out of him like you did at Wrigley?
I think that was up in here in Milwaukee. Actually, he came after an opener.
You're right. My bad. Good call.
Yeah. I'll take. Let's hopefully he has a nice memory of that.
Craig, thanks so much for jumping on with us and sharing stories about Rhino. We really appreciate it. Good luck tonight and for the rest of this series.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you.
See you, man. That's Craig Counsell. Yeah, he's right. That's Friday the 2nd of May in Milwaukee. Quinn Priester, the pride of Cary Grove High School against the Cubs, got absolutely lit up in Milwaukee. But he's been real good for a long time.
A lot of Chicagoland crossover inside of this series.
Caleb Durbin is another Chicagoan playing third base there. Andrew Vaughn homering last night.
I look up and Andrew Vaughn's on MLB Network.
Bet that was,
because he's had a whole bunch of game tying and game winning hits for Milwaukee so far.
I bet that was riveting stuff. Is that wrong? am I wrong for that?
Yes, you are. Listen, we said that we were going to kind of let everyone into the party, and for the most part, your part has been listening to all of these great stories about Rhino, but we want to open the phone lines and give you an opportunity to say what you need to say. So we're going to do that for the next couple of segments. 312-644-6767 is the number. If you'd like to talk about Rhino, we'd like to hear it. It's next here on The Score.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
That guy is one of the best ever wear that uniform. And the way he was on the field and off the field. I have a son back in the 80s. Growing up playing baseball, I say, that's the guy you got to look for. That's the guy going to tell you how to play baseball. Not fancy guy, go out there about his business. Great hitter, tremendous speed. He do everything Major League Baseball asked you to do. He did it. And to me, you know what I mean, when you talk about him, talk about Santos, talk about him, you talk about
Ernie Banks. Billy Williams.
Billy Williams. You talk about this guy's name, he's got to be out there. You talk about big league players. You know, look at that. He's going to tie the game. He just run the bases like nothing happened.
Do you know what he was? He was class.
That's the most he could do to the fans. Look at that.
Yeah.
Respect the game.
There's actually been a lot of love flowing from south to north after the passing of Rhino. Ozzy speaking so beautifully about him. Big Frank with a gorgeous story about those two guys sharing a trip to Cooperstown.
Yeah, Tanny, speak on that, would you? That's your guy, Big Frank, and to see him tweet that.
Yeah, Frank is like my Rhino. I grew up like, you know, because I wasn't quite old enough to experience the entirety of Rhino's Cubs career, but certainly knew the impact, like, you know, growing up in the era Lawrence is talking about, where it's like you go to grade school book fairs and it's like you got the Ryan Sandberg poster there. You know what I mean? And like, I just saw a great photo from the Sox photographer who took like the Ryan Sandberg, you guys remember the Score baseball card where it's like the point of view of looking up at Rhino with the clouds. It's a great shot. I had no idea that the Sox photographer shot that.
Is that Darren Georgia?
No, it's Ron Vesely, I believe.
Ron Vesely,
yeah,
okay.
It was just unbelievable. But anyway, Frank Thomas tweeted a story about all the times, like I think it was plural, that he shared flights with Rhino going to Cooperstown and then them just sharing stories about, you know, who was whose wife's favorite player and just ball breaking. And just, you know, these guys are probably on, I heard them talking about the morning show today, like the Chicago baseball Mount Rushmore. Hard to believe those two guys are not on it. And just to think of them sharing stories and, you know, guys that you did, like, were not necessarily in the same era in a lot of ways, at least the way that I saw it. But then Lauren says, yeah, they probably are very like-minded, but just thinking of them two laughing and sharing jokes, that made me very happy today on a day where I know a lot of people who I care for dearly are very sad today.
I think about both of those guys in the era that they played, and it's a little, you know, towards the end of Rhino's career and a big chunk of Frank's. But when you talk to those guys and you listen to Rhino's speech and you listen to Frank's speech, those two guys were very serious about the game and wanting to protect it from all sorts of influences.
Yeah, I was there for Frank's speech back in 2014 when he was inducted. And, you know, the theory, you know, the whole theme of no shortcuts, you know, that was Frank's big message in his speech. And, yeah, you're right. Rhino's a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from you. 312-644-6767. Roger, you're on the Score.
Hi, I'm a neighbor of Ryan and Margaret. We moved into our house about the same year that they moved in Lake Bluff. And I got, even though I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, I remember Billy Williams as a rookie. I got to know Ryan in a completely different way as a friend. Margaret, who was a wonderful hostess, started getting a group of us neighbors together, and we would get together and have dinner, drink. But during COVID, Ryan decided we're going to get together in his garage. So he would open up the garage doors, get chairs set up, a group of us neighbors would come, he would be the bartender, and he would play rock and roll on his classic vinyl records that he has in his garage. And we would get up and dance. He was a real gentleman.
Wow.
One story, you know, and you hate to pry about his, you know, career when you get together, but he was open to talk. And I asked him one time, tell me, what was your attitude about the game? Well, he said, every day I was the first one at practice. And during that time, I would practice fielding because he believed that fielding would be useful and beneficial to the team every day, even if it was a day that he didn't really hit very well.
And that makes perfect sense for his statue.
That's why he wanted it that way, or why he dreamed of it that way, was because of the defense. He always said the defense is what got him to the big leagues. And he felt good about that being the calling card. That's amazing. Sandberg and gathering people in his garage during COVID. Thank you, Roger the neighbor. Unbelievable.
Let's go to Dave from Highland. Hey, Dave, you're on the score.
I want to be Roger.
All right, Dave, tell us about your time in Ryan Sandberg's garage.
I mean, yeah, no kidding. I'd still be there. You know, at 92, I'm at a Springsteen concert at the Old World Music Theater, and I'm in the beer line. And all of a sudden, all these people, I thought they were cutting in line, and they start running up in front of me. And it was Ryan Sandberg waiting in line like everybody getting a beer. And I couldn't believe it. And it took about 10 minutes, and they all kind of, it was very respectful. They all kind of walked away. And thank God for paper tickets. I had, it's the only thing I had in my hand for him to sign was a paper ticket. And I had my ticket out waiting for everybody to leave. And they leave. And he just smiles and he turns and he orders his beer. I'm thinking, well, I'm screwed now. And he turns around and hands me his beer and says, hold this. And he takes my stub and signs it. So, and I said, God, thank you, Ryan. It's no big deal. It was great.
So Ryan literally asked you to hold his beer.
Hold my beer.
How great is that?
And you did. And you never washed that hand again.
Imagine that. Sandberg turned, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Well, I can sign your ticket stub.
Uh-huh.
That's beautiful. Two for two.
Yep.
All right.
Keep them coming, people.
Let's go to Jake from Decatur. Hey, Jake, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. I'm really loving the show. I just wanted to call. One of you said earlier something about, you know, Ryan Sandberg was above baseball. And I am a born and raised St. Louis Cardinals fan. I love the show, but I'm a Cardinals fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Sandberg is hands down the best second baseman of all time. And I remember as a kid in the 80s, like you guys were talking about, we're all roughly the same age. Oh, we got the Cubs coming to town. Well, you know, they got Sandberg. You always had to watch for Ryan Sandberg, man. But all these stories about what a class act he is makes him even better. But I just wanted to say, hands down, best second baseman all time, and sounds like an even better man. And I'm sorry for all my family and friends that are Cubs fans, because he was a hell of a ball player.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. It's I meant what I said to counsel about that period in the back half of his career when everybody kind of knew that Sandberg was now the greatest second baseman of all time.
Except for one person.
Except for Joe Morgan, who didn't.
Every chance that he got.
He kind of.
So annoying and so beneath someone who was so great.
Uh-huh. But like he had 277 homers as a second baseman. That was the record until Jeff Kent passed it in 2004. Can I give you my favorite Sandberg stat?
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's not the triples one?
No.
Okay.
Only four players in baseball history have had a 40 home run season at one point in their career, and also a 50 stolen base season in their career.
I mean, that's a really cool stat. Thanks for sharing that with me.
You're welcome, Justin. Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, did the 50-50 thing.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
Brady Anderson.
Remember that 50 home run season that Brady Anderson had? And we were all like, that's weird.
Yeah. And Ryan Sandberg had a 40 homer season and a 50 stolen base season.
It's wild.
And let me add, it's five because Ronald Acuna Jr., this must have been old when I wrote it. Acuna Jr. had a 40-70 season.
Yes.
In the same year. So add Acuna. So Shohei, Bonds, Brady Anderson, based on one freakish steroids home run year.
We don't know that.
Okay. And Ryan Sandberg.
It was odd, though.
But how about that? To be the greatest defensive second baseman of all time, arguably. To have a 40-homer year and to be a guy who's fast enough to have 50 steals at 1.2. I love that.
And all those triples. It's pretty wild. Hey, Matt, you're on the score.
Hello, hey, Matt. How we doing?
Good.
We're good, Matt.
What's up, man?
I just wanted to call in. This has been a big year for the Cubs this year, and my dad and I, he just retired. We're following every single game, and broke my heart, one, watching the Cubs lose yesterday, but hearing the passing of Ryan. And I guess just growing up, you know, I heard about from my dad how amazing all the Cubs players were. You know, Fergie Jenkins, Billy Williams, Ron Santo, who I had the pleasure to meet a few times. And I got to meet Ryan Sandberg a few years back after I went to Cooperstown to play baseball. And he signed, the card that he had from Cooperstown that year. And what everybody's saying about don't meet your heroes, you know, Ryan was the exception. He was a fantastic guy and definitely makes you proud to be a Cubs fan.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. A reminder, if anyone wants to know for sure the correct pronunciation of Ryan Sandberg's name, 5:45 would be a good time to listen to the radio station.
Yeah, because we have a colleague who for forever will be the quintessential piece of audio that you need to hear if you have questions about how that man's name is pronounced.
Moments after the announcement last night, people tweeting, hey, can we hear that thing?
We're going to let you hear it.
Tenny, you got the thing?
Got the thing.
How y'all doing?
Mario is in Hyde Park. What's up, sir?
Oh, Mario, how you been?
Hey, fellas. What's up, Steve? Hey, Morris. Long time no see, brother. I will say this as a White Sox fan, but I don't want to qualify this by saying it, but it's important. Back in 1982, 83, 84, the Cubs were it on TV. So you were watching that if you didn't have Sports Vision or on TV or whatever they were doing back then, scamming the public. But that's another story. Watching the Cubs and watching Ryan Sandberg play, and watching him play a lot. Like, I watched a lot of those games. He was one of one. That hasn't happened since Sandberg retired. That kind of second baseman with that kind of, I mean, not even Jeff Kent. And he was a really, really good second baseman. Ryan Sandberg was an amazing athlete. I don't think people understand the athleticism of him.
He's a three-sport athlete.
Position.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think when we, and I did not have a personal interaction with him, I really regret that never happened. But I think Chicagoans, if they're being honest, no matter who you like, whatever team you support, that was one of those dudes, when you saw him on TV, you stopped what you were doing to watch his at-bat. If you were lucky enough to go to a game, you focused a lot on 23. He was an amazing, amazing baseball player. And listening to everybody's reflection, and I've been listening all day, and the score, once again, home run. You guys knock it out the park all the time. Listening to people, I don't feel as sad as I guess I thought I would feel. I feel really encouraged that there's still a chance for people to be kind and to care about their thing that they do and be passionate about it and not be a jerk and touch people's lives positively. So I will just say that, and I will keep it moving, but yeah, man, Ryan Sandberg was no joke. Watching him play was a thrill, and I'm hopeful that everybody listening and that has commented today really finds some money in their pocket and donates to this Cubs Care Radiothon on Thursday. It's important that we fight hard to eliminate this stupid disease.
Man, Mario, that's a beautiful call. In all of the ways, and you speaking to your experience watching the man as a ball player and what the station can be on a good day like this, we appreciate all of it, man.
That part that he's talking about is really important, because there are plenty of people who'll be like, well, hear me talk about growing up and having a kid in Roseland having a Rhino poster.
Yeah.
Guess what was on TV when I came home as a little kid?
That's what you had.
Cubs games were on. And you can get the White Sox on, like Mario said, on Channel 44. But you come home from school, the Cubs game was on. And it was going to be on for an hour or so after you got home from school. So there are plenty of Southside Gen X fans of baseball that are versed in both Cubs and White Sox because of the power of the Superstation. Like, it's a big deal. And think about all the people that it's influenced around this country.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Parade High School All-American as a quarterback. Yeah. Ryan Sandberg.
He's a real guy.
He had a lot of scholarship offers to go play quarterback in college. He's a legit dude, and you see the athleticism when you watch the old highlights of the man play.
We need to take a break. We'll come back and take some more of your phone calls and talk about Rhino. By the way, Barry Rosner is going to join us at 4. I can't recommend highly enough that you stick around for that, because this was someone who really knew Rhino and shared a lot of great moments with him. More of your phone calls next here on The Score.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Yeah, we had him up here in the booth a few years ago, and I remember we were talking, and you know, so he was the quarterback of the football team. He had a scholarship offer to play at Washington, right? Star of the basketball team in high school. You know, he did everything. And I asked him, I said, so you were the guy in high school, the entourage, all the girls wanted to be, you know, with Ryan Sandberg. And he's very sheepish. So I said, yeah, kind of. Yeah. He was the it guy.
JD with some great stuff yesterday. Boog with some great stuff. The Marquee Network really did an amazing job of sharing the stories of Rhino. And that's what we're doing here on Spiegel and Holmes today. It's what the entire Score lineup has done. And we appreciate that you guys have felt comfortable enough to call in and share. Barry Rosner is going to join us in 10 minutes. Do not miss that. All right. So, Spiegs, I'm looking at the phone line here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's been a while since we've taken calls. And I look over at the screen and we have all of this stuff that lets us know who's calling, right? This says Ronnie Woo Woo.
Is it really Ronnie Woo Woo?
I think so.
Let's hear from him.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hello. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm in a rehab, you know, and I'm trying to get my oxygen. You know, I'm on the oxygen tank, and I can't get around too good. So now I'm just going to give my condolences to Ron Sandberg and his family, you know. And I'm just... taking day by day, you know. One thing, when I saw Ron Sandberg, he always asked me, what do woo-woo mean? And I told him, I said, woo-woo means win-win. That's what I'll do. Come, oh, come, oh, come, oh, come, oh. And he always enjoyed that, you know. He used to give me a wave from second base, and I see him at the ballpark and coming in and coming out, and I get into my voice to him and go, Sunday, oh, Sunday, oh, Sunday, oh, Sunday, oh, Jody, oh.
Man.
And it's just the love of the game. I did it for the fan, for Ron Sandberg, you know, a wonderful person. I want to give his wife condolences, and Jesus knows what he's doing, and Jesus made no mistake. But Ronald, he's the best, you know. He energized me by just seeing him. Pick him up, throwing him out, catching balls. You know, he gets amazing.
Thank you for calling, Ronnie. It says Sandberg would wave back at him, and he gave condolences to Sandberg's wife right there.
Yeah, I'm glad that during his rehab that Ronnie's doing, that he felt comfortable enough to call us. Let's go here. Let's go here. This is someone named Ryan. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So let me guess who you were named after.
That's a great guess.
Okay. So why have you had the discussion with your parents on why they did that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I was born in 87, so kind of right there when everything was doing really well. So just somebody my dad always admired, his work ethic, him being on the baseball team, him being a great Cub. And just more than anything else, I think just the work ethic that Sandberg had as a baseball player. He just decided to name me Ryan, and definitely had the Rhino nickname growing up, all the things that came along with it. So
that's awesome. Did you play ball at all, Ryan?
He's gone.
All right. That's amazing. There's Ryan Sandberg was named after a baseball player. He was named after a player named Ryan Duren,
I thought for certain you were going to tell me that the baseball player he was named after was actually named Ryan.
And that his parents got the name wrong?
That would have been hilarious.
No, named after Ryne Duren, who was once the most famous Ryne, a Yankees reliever. Dig this. Ryne Duren used to come in to pitch warm-ups, and his first pitch was always really wild, sometimes 15, 20 feet above the catcher's head, right?
Check the apps on that one. Make sure he wasn't doing that on purpose, you know?
But that was his warm-up pitch. And then the pitches would get better and better, and he'd finally find the plate. Ryne Duren wore Coke bottle glasses, and he was the inspiration for Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn in Major League.
Oh, I love that.
That's who Ryan Sandberg was named after.
I love it when a plan comes together. Let's go to Moline and talk with Brad. Hey, Brad, you're on the Score.
What's up, Brad?
Yeah, I got a story. I was the official scorekeeper for the Quad City Swing in like 2005, 2006 time, back when Ryan was the manager for the Peoria Chiefs. There was a ball that was hit to the third base, and it was a hot shot, kind of in the hole, but the third baseman gloved it, and I thought he should be able to make the play. He did not make the play. End of the game, I go down to go turn the scorecard in to Ryan, and he says he's not signing it, and he's not going to accept anything until I go back up top, and I change that air to a hit. I can't remember who the player was that he was trying to get hits for, but he was not happy with me. I went back up. I called minor league baseball, and they said, you must be at the Ryan Sandberg game. They knew exactly who it was. I was making a phone call about it. Apparently, I was not the first one that he's done this to. So I went and I made the change. I went back down to the clubhouse, and everyone's laughing, smiling at me. I know the joke's on me. So I go, and I say, hey, I got to get Ryan to sign this. And the clubhouse manager said, he doesn't want to talk to you right now. I kind of argued with him that I seen it as an error where the third baseman should have made the play. He wasn't very happy with me, so that was my Ryan story.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's a great story.
Just fighting for his ball player
get that guy a hit.
That's the skipper.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. When we come back, our next hour, we are going to talk with Andre Dawson. But coming up next, Barry Rosner is going to join us. Please don't go anywhere. Listen to what Barry has to say. This was not just someone he covered. This was his friend. And he's going to speak on him next here on The Score.